Let's pray. Father, here we thank you for another opportunity to come tonight. Now, Father, we pray as we study together that by the effectual working of your Holy Spirit and your word tonight, that we will be encouraged as we study the word of truth, right divided, and that we will be enlightened in your holy scriptures, and that we will be edified. And we want to take this time out and say thank you for the gospel, and that is that Jesus Christ died, that he was buried, that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. We thank you for this opportunity to be here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, brother, sister, tonight we're going to get right in. We've been talking about Romans 1 and dealing with the reprobate mind. But before we get back into the depths of that tonight, you know, when something come across, we like to go ahead and bring it to the forefront, my brothers and sisters. And that is, I want folks to understand this as you're listening tonight. Now, we're looking at Romans 1, 18 through 32, and we've been dealing with that for weeks. And then Paul addressing this perilous times and looking at all those different behaviors and sinful behaviors that you see in the dispensation of grace. Now, notice that, I want you to notice something before we get into the depths of what we're going into tonight. Noble acts, notice this right here, noble acts will not save your soul from eternal damnation. Let me say that again. Noble acts will not save your soul from eternal damnation. You can die rescuing people from catastrophic situations, and that will not take you to heaven. And I think when you present the gospel, my brothers and sisters, we need to let folks understand and see this. Because most folks believe that the lost believe that that's what they believe, that they gave money to the poor and all these things. But we have to go into the depths. I know we always talk about, we just scratch the surface. My brothers and sisters, but we don't go into the depths of what how these people are thinking and what they're thinking like. So we need to go into the depths of things. That's a noble act, but it won't take you to heaven, you see. And then why the gospel and presenting the gospel is so important. You can die feeding a mass of starving people in the world, you see. But that will not take you to heaven, my brothers and sisters. So when you look at world news, I always tell folks, when you look at world news, that's what it is. It's world news. But I'm saying that when they present some minister or a pastor that's supposed to be a man of God or supposed to be a believer, and you never hear about the things they did for Christ. All you hear about what they did in the world system. You see? There's something wrong with that picture. You can die working with people with deadly diseases. You can die in a noble effort to help folks, but that would not take you to heaven. It is only when you put your total trust in the gospel of the grace of God, you see, the reprobate mind will continue, I want you to understand that, to hold the truth in unrighteousness. That mind will never think like God. It will never do things God's way. And it would never labor with God at what he's doing. The reprobate, depraved mind says there is nothing wrong with gaining this present evil world. You see, what does it profit a man to gain the world and lose his soul? We're going to get into this in a minute. The person who decides to live his life gaining the whole world will one day ask him or herself, was it a good deal to reject the gospel of the grace of God? Was that a good bargain? Was that really a good decision? Satan will continue to convince the lost to live any way they want here and giving them the lie that a loving God would not allow you to spend forever in hell and forfeit heaven. When you reject the gospel of the grace of God, you're really saying, I'm looking forward to dying Are you really saying I'm looking forward to dying and being cast in hell? When you say no to Jesus Christ and his payment for your sin, you are saying you are looking forward to hell. That's what you're really saying. That's what those who hold the truth in unrighteousness are saying. You're telling God, I don't need Jesus Christ. I paid for my sins in hell and the lake of fire. If you reject God's gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, it will be your choice and your decision. Don't let Satan or anyone listening tonight convince you that when you die, it will be all over. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judge. And the Lord Jesus Christ, listen to this, he says, for what is the profit of man if he should gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? In Matthew 16:26. And Mark 8:36 says, for what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Then Luke 9:25 says, for what is the man advantage if he gain the whole world and lose his soul or be cast away? Losing your eternal soul, this is so important. It's the greatest of all losses. That's why it's so important, my brothers and sisters, for the gospel, for us to get out with the gospel. We talk on the phone all day. There's so many opportunities we have to redeem the time and present the gospel. We talk about everything but the gospel. Let me say this. Am I becoming your enemy because I tell you the truth? For what is a man's advantage, he said, if he gain the whole world, lose him, or be cast away? Losing your eternal soul is the greatest of all loss. So take this topic, what I'm talking about, seriously. In the context of these verses, because I hear many folks quote them and they'll go and grab them, but in the context of these verses, Jesus Christ told his Jewish disciples to take up their cross and follow him. Matthew 16:24. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Verse 25 of Matthew 16. They should not fear losing their earthly lives for his sake. What is most important that they not lose their souls. Now, when Matthew 10:28 speaks of the soul, listen to this, and body being destroyed in hell, it is referring to the body and soul of a person becoming useless and worthless, degenerating, the very identity of the person being lost. In other words, the lost person in hell becomes a nobody. The importance of the gospel, my brothers and sisters. The rich man in Luke 16:19-22 was just that. He was just another rich man. Unlike Lazarus, he did not have a name. Did you ever notice that? Lazarus had a name. The rich man, what? He was just a rich man. So all those that are gaining this world, and for all the saints that are looking at these folks, want to chase the pipe dreams, I want to be rich, I want to be successful, I want to have all these material things, I've made it. My brothers and sisters, look at this. That is what Jesus meant when he said the person in hell loses his soul and loses himself. Luke 9:25 says, for what is the man advantage if he gain the whole world and loses himself or be careful? To lose yourself means to lose your identity. In hell, one becomes a nameless, worthless creature. That ought to put some fire in you to get out there with the gospel of the grace of God. Jesus Christ declared there is more to life than this physical world and this temporal possessions. There is a spiritual world and afterlife to consider. Jesus asked, for what is the profit of man if he should gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for himself? Does it make sense to emphasize this temporary world? How many saints in the body of Christ are caught up in the temporary world? They caught up in the shopping. They caught up in the money. They caught up in the material things. They caught up with these televangelists that's on television, tell you how you can sow your seeds and you can get rich. When you engage in all those things, there is no time to get out there with the gospel, the grace of God. You're all tangled up. So it doesn't make sense to emphasize this temporary world and its corruptible goods to the point of ignoring your eternal soul. That's why the importance of it, and wind up losing in the hellfire forever and ever. There is more to a person than just a physical body. Your inner man, your soul, your spiritual body is everlasting. That's why we ought to be running with the gospel of the grace of God. To ignore Jesus Christ's finished cross work as sufficient payment for our sin is to remain dead in those sins, resulting in you spending eternity suffering God's wrath in the lake of fire, literally as a nameless, hopeless, disfigured creature. Are you more concerned about, I got my salvation, I'm not concerned about the loss now? That's what you're saying. Oh, am I becoming your enemy tonight? That's what you're saying when you're sitting down. You done got saved and you're sitting down. And you're not redeeming the time. Your soul is not worth losing. You trust Christ as your personal Savior today. That's what they need to hear. Here's a real question every person has. What will it profit a person if they gain the whole world and lose their own? We see this. We see folks gaining the world in the dispensation of grace. We saw it during Christ's earthly ministry to the nation of Israel. So many are gaining this world and loving this present evil world. You may get everything the world has to offer, but in the end, it will be all a loss if you don't believe the gospel of the grace. That's why the importance of the gospel of the grace of God. That's why we need to get out with it. Here's something else to consider. When you believe the gospel of the grace of God, you have been, let them know they have been accepted in the beloved. Jesus Christ is their Savior. They have been bought with a price. You have been chosen by God. And you have chosen his gift of salvation. You are now bought with a price and you are not your own. God wants to live in the new reality, want us to live in that new reality that my life is not my own. Now that's for us saints too now. As they say, so many have fallen off the wagon. You got to remember that you belong to Christ, not this world system. And now choose to listen to his word and follow him. That's why 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. What know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore what? Look at this. Glorify God in your body, in your spirit, which are God. So we have to ask ourselves, as saints in the body of Christ, are we glorifying God? Well, he gets the glory. In our bodies, in our spirit. And there it is, which are God's. So let's continue on with this study. But we got work to do, saints. We got work to do. I'm thinking that the body of Christ is getting so much, we're getting so caught up in traditions and commandments of men, we're doing the same old thing. It's just a ritual. It's a routine. Same old thing every Sunday, same old thing. Folks, folks not grasping on to what Apostle Paul has given us in the dispensation of grace, in his words, Romans 2:5, we're not getting it. Brothers, sisters, let's continue. Last week we was getting to talk about this flesh. As we have already seen, that the prey, God calls it sinful flesh. And in Romans 8:3, it warns that it seeks occasion to do wrong. The Galatians 5:13. And declares that the works of the flesh are all bad. Read Galatians 5:19 through 21. Following a performance-based system, we get what we call legalism. Law is how to have sin rule over us. Recall Paul's problems in chapter 7 of Romans. Living the Christian life under the law. What is he doing here? And we continue on from last week now. In Galatians 5:19 through 21, he is saying if the flesh defines our humanity as life without the power of the Spirit of God, then let us just look at humanity apart from God and ask ourselves, look at society, look at the world. And you ask yourself, where does humanity go if God isn't in the picture? In Romans 1, Paul paints the picture clearly for us. As people are just left to do it themselves, where do they go? Do they become more righteous? My brothers and sisters, do they become more? Or do they just drift away from God into sin? Paul is saying the answer to that question is pretty obvious. Just look around. Be observant is what he's saying. We could do the same thing today. We could say, you know what? The flesh produces, just look around. Look at every environment where God has been pulled out of that environment. And as you said, now I'm talking, you look at every environment, even in the church, the assemblies where God has been pulled out and traditions and commandments of men have replaced the living word of God. So you're going back to traditions and commandments of men where folks, guess what? People aren't being taught. They're not learning anything. They're getting the same old thing over and over again. It's just what I got in denominationalism. That's what I got every Sunday, a ritual. I didn't learn anything. Can that happen? Is it happening in the body of Christ, in the dispensation of grace? Yes, it is. But we don't want to hear it. But that's the truth. My brothers and sisters, you know what the flesh produces? Just look around. Look at the every environment where God has been pulled out of the environment. Ask yourself, a lot of folks don't want to think of it that way. Have they pulled God when they go to their assembly? Is God really being glorified? Is that environment becoming more righteous or less? Ask yourself, is it becoming more or less? Once again, Romans 1 paints the picture clearly of a society or a world that rejects God and his word. The way we walk after the flesh is to think about things other than the grace of God. Using our own opinions, and here we go, church traditions. Did you know that you can drift away from God's word? When you start using church traditions, and then guess what? I'm learning as I keep studying that even in the assemblies, I hear folks singing songs because Paul told us to sing with understanding, and he told us to pray with understanding. I hear songs. I can remember songs they used to sing. When I was growing up, they used to sing, save a seat for me. You know, and folks just get up and sing it like it ain't nothing. But when you begin to grow and mature in God's word, then there's another song out there. You ever heard that? Folks, God is not about feelings. I hope folks understand that. There's a song that says, yes, God is real. You ever heard that song? For I can feel him in my soul. Tim, how does he feel? How you feel God in your soul? Did Paul say we ever feel God in our soul? Paul told us to pray and sing with understanding. So if we really teaching and when we teaching God's word right divided in the assemblies, guess what? Sooner or later, people ought to catch on to what we're going to be singing and what we're going to be teaching. My brothers and sisters, we use our own opinions. church tradition, rules and regulations and the speculations. And I used to hear so many songs when I was in the Baptist setting, and they were just singing it because I knew they didn't understand right the vision as I look back now. Yeah. Stepped in the water. The water was cold. It chilled my body, but not my soul. All those songs they used to sing. But now, if we mature in God's word and growing, which is what God expects us to do, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, writing the divine word of truth. If we're growing, guess what? The saints should be growing also. The saints should be growing and maturing in God's word. My brothers and sisters. And the speculation of, and using our own opinions and the speculation of theologians, we make the Christian life futile and frustrating. This is how we wind up in sin. However, if we mind the things of the Spirit, the Christian life will be brought into our life. The key here is to think on the things of the Spirit. The things of the Spirit are the principles of grace already presented earlier in the book of Romans. Oh, I had another song just came. I used to say, well, you see, 99 and a half won't do. Got to get 100. Remember that one? Yeah. That's why I say, Paul, why would Paul say we should be praying and singing with understanding? Because that verse is in hopes that what? You maturing in understanding of what God is doing today in the dispensation of grace and what God is not doing. That's a sign of spiritual growth, my brothers and sisters. That's what that is. So when we allow those things to happen in our assemblies, or when we teaching, when we allow folks to they hear these things and they're saying, guess what? They walk away thinking that what we can we what God is about feeling, you see, or they we pray prayers that has nothing to do with the dispensation of grace. So folks walk away thinking that way, and they go out there and share the same thing. They share it with other folks. So now you got some bad doctrine out there being shared. You see? My brothers and sisters, the key is to think on the things of the Spirit. Now, the things of the Spirit are Prince of Grace already presented early in the books of Romans. If you see chapters 3 through 7, it takes studying, especially the flesh. Even as it remains in the believer after salvation, is that which was generated by a fallen begetter. It is the old Adamic nature. It is the sinful in itself. It cannot be improved. It cannot be changed. The old man was condemned and dealt with, judiciously at the cross. Never once is the believer instructed to try to do anything with him or make anything of him, but always reckon him dead. We have to use the scriptures that we have. Paul said, reckon him dead. Romans 6:7. And to put him off. Colossians 3:8-10. The importance of the gospel grace of God in the ministry of reconciliation. A society, a world that rejects God and his word is simply a society, a world that refuses to think like Christ, refuses to do things Christ's way, and refuses to labor with Christ and what he's doing. And we have that society today and the world. In other words, we do not want any part of God. We should not be surprised by the crimes we hear about in the news or those who might personally experience it. We shouldn't be surprised. I think sometimes we hear Christians be like they shocked when they hear of these very tragic crimes that's happening in this present evil world. They be like they blown away when I hear those things or when I hear these tragic deaths. I'm not blown away. Because I know what God's word says. Look at what Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 4, 20 through 24. He said, but ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as in truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Ephesians 4:20. Those who experience the life-transforming power of Jesus Christ by believing the gospel of the grace of God are different. The slide into moral decline stops, and the renewal begins. We are a new creation. Rather than having a continual lust for more wickedness, we become ambassadors for Christ, and we desire more purity and righteousness. But remember, Satan distorts his evil plan so that if we're not careful, even those who profess to follow Christ will be brought down. Look what 1 Corinthians 10:12 says. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Sometimes we want to boast how long we've been around the message of the gospel grace of God. Those are ones I say, you be careful. You be careful when you want to tell folks I've been around it. You have to be careful, my brothers and sisters. Now, when we're getting back to what Paul was talking, back to Romans 1, when Paul writes, when we were looking at a society, we're getting back to some of those descriptors Paul was giving us. He said, next Paul writes about, when you look at Paul, they are disobedient to parents. When we look at this statement right here, what Paul's saying, from studying God's word, we will see a society that has rejected God. In this society, the youth are out of control. So when folks that's believers, and they say, man, what's wrong with these children today? I got to say, guess what? They must not have been reading God's word then. Huh? I don't know what's wrong with these kids. I do. We are there today. Apostle Paul spoke of this in 2 Timothy 3:1-5. This knoweth that in the last days about the perilous time. He said, for men shall be lovers of themselves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemy. Then here we go again. Disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. My brothers and sisters, this sin of child rebellion, it was so serious in the Old Testament that it required the death penalty. But thank God we're under grace. They have no regard for authority, and this lawlessness begins in the home. Submission to authority must be learned at home, but here it does not. When obedience by children to their parents is gone, a society is set on a course of disorder that knows no limit. So can you imagine why Paul is going to talk? He's talking about perilous times? Because it's on a course. My brothers and sisters, when you gonna see the things that's on this course, where there is no regard for one's parents, this moral breakdown leads to disregard for the civil or criminal law. You don't have to ask folks what's going on when you get in the book. There is no respect for any institutional authority in the classroom, the workplace, and the government. They become like lawless gang members with no compliance for any authority. Here every man is doing what is right in his own eyes and is willing to kill others to get their way. For a young person to be out of control, they have disobeyed the parents, they have disrespected their parents, they have assumed they know more than their parents. Parents in the side in the death spiral do not discipline or train their children. That's what's going on today. Why? They are too selfish. It takes too much effort, too much time and cost, too much. So they ship their children off to the state to nanny them and school them, and they never once obey the biblical instructions to train a child in the way it should go. My brothers and sisters, that's what's happening. Paul landed out so clear for us. What we can, I always say, look forward. these things are happening, and it's only going to get worse. And then when Section 4, we're talking about sinful perversion, and that's the fourth category, there's moral decline, and it begins in verse 31 of Romans 1. And each of these descriptions start with the same prefix, A, which is translated in English as un. Romans 1, 31 says, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same thing, but have pleasure in them that do them. The first result of God's judgment is they are without understanding. And that is to say they are without any intelligent thought concerning God or morality. You don't have to ask what's going on in the world today. The book gonna tell you. This renders them incapable of any decision making. They have no comprehension who God is, what his moral law is, or what any common decency is. They do not understand the truth of God even at the most basic level. So when you see women half-dressed, men half-dressed, my brothers and sisters, they don't need to ask why. Their conscience are seared as with a hot iron. Right and wrong are indistinguishable to them. This individual willing to call good evil and evil good. They are without understanding. And the next aspect of this corrupt culture is untrustworthy, which means covenant breakers. Their pledge to do something no longer means what they say. They think nothing to break their marriage vows or business contract whenever it's to their own advantage. They are people without any principles, doing whatever is most expedient to fulfill their selfish desire. Now, that's one of the key things you better key in on as in the dispensation of grace and perilous time. It's their selfish desires. And can we as saints in the body of Christ, can we delve into the selfish desires? Yes, we can. Because Paul already told us that many in the body of Christ, they're going to turn their ears away from the truth. And you know, when you turn your ears away, you turn to something that you want to do, something that's been drawn your attention, something that's got your focus. That's selfish, because it's all about me, myself, and I. And that's where we're going to stop for tonight and continue on next week. My brothers and sisters, let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And we pray as those who are listening tonight that they were encouraged, that they were enlightened, and that they were edified, and that they would be encouraged and want to get into your word and study it and be a Berean, and that they would study to show themselves approved unto you, a workman that needed not to be ashamed. Do I persuade men or God? We thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My brothers and sisters,